time this morning, and so we got some few other things we need to take care of. One other very significant thing we're going to take care of at the end of the service, and I'll say more about that then, but I want you to take your Bible and go with me to the book of Joshua, chapter number 1, and we are going to continue our series on Canaan Land is Just in Sight. And I think we've preached about 3 messages so far dealing with the subject of Canaan Land is Just in Sight. And or There's a New Day Dawning. I've mentioned that. I ain't good at titling messages. And I found out most people don't remember what you titled it, anyways. It's the guts that matter, and it's what sticks. And really, it's the Word of God. It's the truth of the Word of God, and that's what we need. Speaking of which, I'm going to take some time this morning and read. I was meditating and praying about the service, and I was listening to a preacher preach. Heard a preacher I'd never heard before up there at Brother Cody's, and the Lord spoke through this man of God, and I looked him up and been listening to him, and he read some verses that just goes right along with what I'm going to be preaching on this morning. And I want to read these verses to you before we read our text. So just hold your place and listen as I read out of Psalm 78. And I want you to listen. And if you want to know why I'm preaching on this subject and why it matters that we make it to Canaan and not wander in the wilderness and stay just in average Christianity, just where we are, how we are, it absolutely matters. And I'm going to read why it matters so much and why I'm taking so many services to deal with this subject. Listen what God said as He reiterates. What I'm reading to you has already happened. This is in the Psalms, and God is reiterating and re-emphasizing what He has already done and the goodness and the wonders of Himself, and then the grave consequences of the people of God who got stiff-necked and got to the place in their life where they were just okay where they was, doing what they were doing, and just settled that this must be all there is to it. God had something to say, and there's a great cost. Don't you listen to what God said and reminded us in Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Listen to this verse. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord, and His strength, and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He hath established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. God's saying, it ain't okay to stay where you are because it ain't just about you. There's another generation that, listen, we have experienced touches of God. Some of you have been around to have to really feel and be part of a mighty move of God. And I've heard you testify about it. And I've heard many glory in how good God was in yesteryear. But I'm here to tell you, that's not good enough. That will not. I thank God for what He has done. I thank God for how He has blessed. But listen, that this generation must see something, not just hear something, and not just hear how He used to be and how He used to work, but they must hear and see and experience a real, true move of God. It goes on to say that this generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Why? That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their... Listen, here it is. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carried bows, turned back in the day of battle. God help us. Our children cannot afford for us to be armed and turn back in the day of battle. They are facing a darker, more demonic day than we ever dreamed of. And they need all the help they can get. This generation, if your children and my children will make it, it's going to require us not turning back. Not setting our weapons down, not settling with where we are, but making it to Canaan. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He showed them. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and He made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also He led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned. Listen, after all that, after all the wonders of God, after all the goodness of God, listen to how they responded to God. And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High. Where? In the wilderness. Where we've been preaching, we are in the wilderness. Where are we trying to get out of? The wilderness. Why are we even trying to make it to Canaan so we don't die in the wilderness? And He said they provoked God, the Most High, in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, in other words, they were saying, we like it here. It's okay here. It's fine here, Lord. Just keep feeding us. No need to move on. Everything's real easy here in the wilderness. We don't have to fight. We don't have to fend for ourselves. We don't have to do anything. You just drop the food in front of us. You open the rocks up and give us drink. You take care of us. So why would we want to leave? And they provoked the God of heaven and tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, He smote the rock that the waters gushed out and streams overflowed. Can He give bread also? Can He provide flesh for His people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation. Though He had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to be full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by His power He brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And He let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitation. So they did eat and were filled, for He gave them their own desire. Listen. they were not estranged from their lust. But while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. Why? For all this they sinned still and believed not for His wondrous works. Therefore, their days did He consume in vanity and their years in trouble. When He slew them, then they sought Him and they returned. Listen, now that God has dealt with them and said, if this is what you want, this is what you get. If you want it bad enough, I'll give it to you. And I promise you, God is gracious. God is good. God is merciful. His mercies, as a matter of fact, are brand new every morning. When you woke up this morning, the mercy of God woke up before you did and was waiting on you and waiting on me. Fresh, not stale mercy, brand new, fresh mercy from God. He is a merciful God. He is a gracious God. He is a loving God. No question. We ought all be able to raise our hand this morning and say, God's been good to me. God's been gracious to me. God's been way better to me than I deserve. But I'm here to tell you, God is a long-suffering God. But you can get to a place dealing with God when God will cut you off and give you what you want. That's what we just read. If you want it bad enough, God said, okay. You say, surely not. Can I tell you what the Bible says? The Bible says, that same King James Bible says, there'll come a day when God will laugh at you. And He'll laugh at your calamity. And you'll call on Him and you'll cry to Him and He'll laugh at you. I know that ain't the popular God you hear about on the TV, but that's the God of the Word of God. That's the God of that Bible. It's no small thing to tempt the God of heaven. When He slew them, then they sought Him. After He slew them, after they dropped, after their carcasses fell in the wilderness, then them that were around them, then when they saw they were real consequences to staying and wandering in the wilderness and not making any advancement with God and not taking God at His word and not taking the provisions of God and not pursuing the promised land of God. And He slew them, and as the carcasses fell, then, listen, this is where we are. This is where we are. Listen, this ain't just about 4,000 years ago. This is about the church that we're sitting in. Listen to what happened. And tell me if this ain't the heart of most Christian people. Then, when He slew them, then they sought Him. God forbid he has to kill something we love or somebody we love before we will seek Him. You say, that's bad. That's bad. But it gets worse. And they returned and inquired early after God. Are you listening? You think these people's, they serious now. They've heard from heaven. They've seen the hand of God. It's real. And they're no longer satisfied in the wilderness. They're going to rise up and seek God early and read the law and search after God and follow after Him and make it to Canaan. Right? That's why they said they inquired early. I wish it ended there. I wish that you would think that would be enough, wouldn't you? Returned and inquired early after God, and they remembered that God was their rock and the high God, their Redeemer. They remembered how good God was. It all started coming back. We're talking about people who knew God. Are you hearing me? We're talking about people who had sat in church their whole life. People who had got stale and satisfied just sitting in a pew. People who said, I'm saved, I'm headed for heaven, but this is about all there is to it. No need for me to serve Him. No need for me to make advancement. No need for me to go fight giants. No need for me to go any further. Forgetting the fact there's a generation following us. There's another group coming after us. And it's all about us. We're satisfied. We're at ease in Zion, coming in, sitting on a pew, not realizing we're losing a generation, watching us sit on a pew and be satisfied doing it. So they remembered. They rose up. They remembered. And you think, well, revival struck. Now they're going to make it to Canaan. Right? Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth. And they lied unto him with their tongues. They said, Lord, we're going to search for you now. We're going to seek you. We're going to serve you now. Nevertheless, they were lying with their lips. And they were lying with their tongues. Even after all the goodness of God, and even after God had to bring judgment to them, they rose up long enough to lay back down. Which is exactly how the average Baptist, fundamental independent Baptist is. For their heart, why did they do that? Here's the answer. For their heart was not right with Him. Neither were they steadfast in His covenant. That's hard. That's deep. Thick, hard to read. But it's the Word of God. That's as much the Bible as John 3:16 is. Are you listening? I am going to read you one more verse out of Psalm 78. And you better thank God in heaven. It's in there. Verse 38 said, but He, talking about God, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Many a time turned He His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath. They deserved to die in the wilderness. They deserved to never see Canaan. They deserved to have their carcass fall in the wilderness and never see the promised land. Yet God in His goodness turned His wrath, turned His anger, and forgave them, redeemed them, picked them up, and set their feet right to walk again out of the wilderness. I say, what a God. I mean, that happened literally right after He judged them. He reproved them. He rebuked them. They rose up. They said with their mouth, we love You, Lord. We're sorry, Lord. They come to an altar. They prayed a prayer and said, God, I'm going to do it. Lord, I'm going to start reading my Bible. Lord, I'm going to start my prayer life back. Lord, I'm going to start being a witness. Lord, I'm going to start tithing. I'm going to start giving to missions. Lord, I'm going to come to church faithfully. Here I am, Lord. I'm making it to Canaan. And God said, you lying through your teeth. See, we say a lot of stuff, even in an altar. And God knows our heart. Are you listening? I'm for people coming to the altar. I think we don't have near enough of it, to be honest. I think the altar will alter you. I believe that. It burdens me that we don't have altars full. I should be able to just read the text that I read this morning and say invitation time and the altar's filled. Period. But it just amplifies the fact that we are those people. We're stiff-necked, hard-hearted, and satisfied right where we are and think nothing will ever change. And before we leave here this morning saying, well, yeah, but preacher, it was bad and it was deep and they were everything you said. And then they lied and they even said they was getting right and then they didn't and God called them out on it. But then, after all, look how good God is. Praise the Lord. So we get out scot-free anyway. Just one problem with that mentality. Everybody didn't make it. Matter of fact, the majority didn't. I'm going to deal with this as we move on in. Two. Joshua and Caleb. You think about this church. Down every row, down in and out every pew. Good people. A lot of Christian people. I'm sure lost people. I'm sure lost church members are right here. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. You say, who are you? God, no, I ain't God, but God handpicked 12 and one of them was a devil. Surely there's some lost people sitting in here. But there are a lot of saved people. But you know, being saved don't make you bound for Canaan. There's a lot of them people, Brother Ned. They were saved, but that was as far as they was ever going. They got enough to get to heaven, and that's all they wanted of God. Reminds me a lot of the prodigal. Give me what's owed to me. Give me the portion, because I care way more about what you can give me than who you are. And right here in our church, listen to me. I'm telling you, it's just fact. I love you. I love you. But the majority ain't going to Canaan. It breaks my heart to say that. Because as the pastor, I want us all to go. I want to go. I want my wife and my children to go. I want to do everything in my power to see to it we make it out of the wilderness to Canaan. I do. And I promise you, nothing would make me happier than to be wrong. And we all make it. But I'm just giving you the real statistics. Most people, even in good Baptist churches, are satisfied just being saved. What's the name of that song you wrote? He's Enough, or He's Enough? That song's powerful. It's great. And boy, we rejoice and we shout and we'll raise our hand that He's enough. And He is. But if we really believe that, we ought to live in a way that proves it. If He's really enough, if we really love Him, you know what the Bible said? If you love me, keep my commandments. It ain't just going to be lip service. It ain't just going to be the same. I mean week in and week out, never no growth, never any advancement, just satisfied. Everybody okay? Listen. I know what time it is. I do. But I ain't been preaching long. Matter of fact, I ain't even started. By way of introduction, famous last words. We've got some of the scripture. I ain't got the scripture read yet. We ain't got to the text. Y'all got your Bibles open still. We won't be here much longer, but listen, please listen. Are you interested? I took the time this morning on purpose to read 30-something verses out of Psalm 78 just to shake us, not to just move on and cruise on in a series of messages I'm preaching, but hopefully to shake us and to arouse and awake us to let us know it matters that we make it out of the wilderness. Not just for me, but so, wasn't it Joshua that said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Ain't you glad Joshua said, I want more than a lying tongue and loose lips that'll say I love God, but no, but have some integrity and a real genuineness about Him that said, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to follow after. So why? So that my children will not just hear about something that they never see or experience. We're losing this generation. We're losing them. Hey, listen, some of you say, well, I raised my children and they saved. Are you worried about your grandchildren? If you can live in this world and cut the TV on and look around at how wicked this world has got, and preachers been preaching that my whole life. Miss Bonnie, they've been saying this gonna get so dark. I mean, perilous days are coming and demonic, devilish days are coming. It ain't coming no more. They're here. I mean, it's dark. It's dangerous and demonic days right now. And if your grandchildren have a hope of making it to heaven, it's going to be because we got out of the wilderness and showed them what genuine, victorious Christian living is, not just religion that's dried and dead and plucked up by the roots. I don't want no dead, dried up religion.
Amen. No,
sir. I'll be honest with you, it bores the snot out of me. I can't stand to sit in church and it be dead.
Amen.
I can sit at the house in quiet and it just be dead. I can go to the morgue. I can go to the funeral home. Why would I waste my time coming to say I'm serving and worshiping a living Lord when we just come and set like knots on logs and act like nothing's happened? No, the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I mean, there should be something that resonates on the inside of you that says, oh, I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit, if you save, the Holy Ghost of God's in you. And when truth is spoken, and when truth is sang, and when truth is preached, it'll resonate and bear witness. And something ought to say, amen, that's right. Amen, that's right. Praise the Lord. When you hear singing, and when you hear singing that blesses your soul, and it should not, listen, singing ought to do way more than entertain you. You know, I have people who come who will just sing and sing for the Lord. Listen, these are talented as you can get. They're talented, but they didn't come to perform. I ain't going to have performers.
Amen.
People say, won't you get this group? Won't you get that? Won't you go find a church that might get them? Because this old boy ain't getting them. I ain't bringing this ain't a place of entertainment.
Amen.
It's a place of worship.
Amen. Preacher.
Amen. Amen. Our children are entertained all day, every day. The last thing the church needs to do is become another form and outlet of entertainment.
Sure.
No, no.
Amen.
No, they need, they. No, this ought to be the one place they can unplug from the entertainment world and plug into a place of worship. Because the Bible still says, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Do you know, I'm so thankful God put that in the Bible. God ain't for dead churches either. If he was, he'd have said, they that worship me must worship me in truth. You can worship like a knot on a log in truth. You can worship like a Presbyterian or a Methodist or a Catholic. He said, but they must worship me in spirit and in truth. God is interested in a lively bunch. God's interested in a place not just with the embers barely. God wants this place blazing. I mean, seriously, God wants this place to be filled. I mean, filled with the power of God and the presence of God, where people can really have an encounter with God, where our children can come in and not just hear stories from yesteryear, but they can say, can I tell you what I experienced in the house of God today? No, I wasn't entertained, but I got to worship. He saved me. He come into my heart. He forgave me. Not something I heard, something I experienced. The only hope they have. That's the only hope they have. Do you care? Are you interested?
Amen.
In your children and your grandchildren making it to heaven? Because I promise you this, the odds have always been stacked against them, but they've never been stacked against them as they are today. The closer it, you say, that's crazy. That's hogwash. You don't know what you're talking about. You want me to give you some Bible for that? You know what Jesus said? When I return, will I even find faith in the earth?
Amen. Yeah.
It's going to be so hard to find. It's going to be so obsolete. I'm telling you, our children, this generation, need some real Christian people who are sick and tired of living in the wilderness. Of knowing what to say with our lips, and our lives are far from. Because we think we got them fooled, I'm here to tell you, they ain't no fools. Just hang around a young in a while, they'll tell you how fat and ugly you are. They're brutally honest. My children crack me up, my little ones. I mean, you crack me up too, but Laura would say something to my mom, and she'd be like, Nana, your hair is white. I shut up, Laura. Mine is too. I ain't going to say the other stuff she says about other people. My point is, she'd just be like wanting to put duct tape over their mouth. I'd shut up. Don't say nothing else. There is no rewind button. See, we may think we're fooling them. We ain't fooling them. They see through it. That's why they're leaving at breakneck speed from the church as soon as they can. Because they're sick of it. Does that bother you? Does that burden you? You say, oh, it'll be their children, not mine. If you really that ignorant, if you really that ignorant, please don't be that ignorant. It can be mine. That's why I'm preaching this. My children are being raised in the same place, in the same church your children and grandchildren are, and we can't afford, I can't afford, I don't want my children growing up in a wilderness experience. No. They might could have made it under the grace of God. And we'd all have to say God's been so gracious to America over the years. But can't you look around and see how wicked this country's got? And can't you almost just feel the gracious hand of God pulling away from this country? Can't you? I mean, be honest. I love America. I don't want to go live somewhere else. I'm just telling you, it breaks my heart. But America, is sick. She's sick. And what used to be okay for kids to come through church and they'd get saved and they'd make it, not no more. There's too much hell out there. There's too much wicked out there. There's too much demonic out there. They got to have something real. We get them about 3 hours a week. If y'all bring them back. Some of them we only get about an hour. And you get mad at me when it's after 12 o'clock because it's more than an hour. Listen. You'll take your kids to the beach. You'll take your kids to the mountains. You'll dump money on them. You'll do whatever they want. You'll see to it they got the best of the best. You want them to succeed in society. I ain't knocking that. I want my children to be accepted. I understand that. But please hear me. Hey, please hear me right here. And answer this honestly. Are you more concerned about your child being accepted by society, making it in this world or in the one to come?
Amen, preacher.
And I know we'd all quickly say, oh, sure, in the world to come. And I just remind us all about that verse. The Lord knows what we say with our lips and then what our life lives different. Well, I know this ain't a shouting message, but it's the truth. I know it's a heavy message. It is for me. It is for me. Let me at least read. Josh, y'all still got your Bibles? Listen, don't have a heart attack. I don't want to call the ambulance this morning. I'm just going to read the text. Joshua 1:9, verses 1, chapter 1, verse 1 through 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou shalt that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. We spent about three messages talking about God's command. Two messages, the last two, as we looked at God's command, we talked about a call to claim the land, and then we looked at about a call to have confidence in the Lord, and then a call to carry out the law is what we looked at last week. And this closes this first point. It'll take me 2 minutes, and we'll be done this morning. A call to courage and leadership. In the midst of all these things, the Lord called Joshua. 3 times, God Himself encourages Joshua to be strong and courageous. These words carry the idea of standing firm and strong in the face of opposition. If we're going to make it out, there's got to be a leader. Somebody's going to have to stand up and lead. And I ain't talking about just at the church. This was God's man. Joshua was God's man. No question about it. Moses had passed off the scene. God had instituted and anointed Joshua to lead them out to the promised land. But you know what? We need some leaders at the house. We need some daddies at the house who will stand up and give their kids confidence to follow. And if they, and I know this is the case. A lot of homes, there ain't no daddy in the home. It's sad, but it's true. And you young people, if you ain't got a daddy in your home, I know what that's like growing up that way. Listen, I know what that's like, and it's hard. And it's real hard. And the devil play tricks on your mind. But don't you listen. God give me a mama who led. And you, if you got a godly mama, you follow your mama. Follow her to church. Follow her to prayer. Follow her to the Word of God. Follow whoever's in your house walking toward the Lord. You say, but preacher, I ain't got a mama or a daddy that serves Jesus. God give some of y'all a grandma and a grandpa. Follow them. And some of you grandparents, that your children are out in the world and they won't serve Jesus and they won't have nothing to do with God and they don't even care much about their youngins. That's why you've got them. Don't cuss that. Don't curse that. Thank God for the fact that at least you can influence them and you do what you can to lead them. You may be the only Bible they see. You may be the only God they ever get. Be that for them. Be that for them. Be a leader. Be a leader. There's just as great a need for people to stand for the Lord now as there was in the day when Joshua stood in front of the children of Israel. We need some people that will stand and say, by the grace of God, I will lead us out of here. That's right. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Say, well, I'm going to get it. Listen, God will take care of you. Stand. Say, but it's hard. I already raised children. Well, do you love them? Do you love your grandchildren? Do you love your children? But I'm tired. I'm tired too. But I love my children too much to quit. I love my children too much to say this is too hard. Yes, it would be easier to lay out of church a lot of Sundays. It would. And I'm the preacher. I'm being honest. Many, many, many Sunday mornings, I wake up and I think, I don't feel like going today. But what's that going to say to my children? That church ain't important. You know why my children get up every Sunday morning and get ready for church? Because there's been a pattern set. There's been somebody that's led. Their mama and their daddy for all of their life on Sundays have got up and got ready and went. Amen. Amen. So throw your flimsy excuses out the window and cry me a river. They are worth it. And you don't build character and you don't build Christians in a day. You can't wait till they're 18 and full of hell to try to fix them. You put 18 years worth of hell in them and then hand them to the preacher and say, fix them. Yeah, good luck with that. You'd be amazed at how many people cuss the preacher and discuss the preacher over lunch. And, oh, can you believe he preached on that? Can you believe he said this? And can you believe he said that? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you know what you're doing? You're building little rebels who have no respect for authority. And then you wonder why they got trouble at school. Then you wonder why they don't listen to their teacher. And the principal comes in, they want to fight him too. And then the police comes. And you know why? Because God put a leader in their life, and you cut them down. You cut them down. And you pointed out every error and every problem and how this could be better and how that could be better. I'm telling you, you better learn to lead in front of your children and teach them. You know how? I ain't saying this because I'm the preacher. I'm saying this because it's the truth. Listen, you know what happened when I was young? I'll tell you what happened. I got in trouble all the time. I'd wear two pair of pants every day because I knew I was getting a whooping. That's the truth. Ask her. I knew it. Bunch of mean people to me. No. Listen, if I went to school and got in trouble, which happened quite often, I never went home and said, Mama, that mean teacher whooped me at school today. That's back when they would whoop you at school today. They don't do that no more. You know why? I would hide it from them and pray to God they didn't call and tell her. Because my mama wouldn't be like some of you hooligans and go back up to school. Why did you touch my child? Could I remind you, that is not a halo. That's horns. You got a devil for a child too. And they need every whooping they get in times 10. If I got in trouble at school, I got in trouble at home for getting in trouble at school. Right. You know why? And you know what that taught me? Respect authority. Even when they err, for the most part, they're right and you respect them. Doing the best they can. Sure, they're going to make mistakes. But when you go up there flapping the jaw and telling the teachers off how they did wrong and what they did wrong, right, you're telling your child, just pitch a fit every time you don't get your way. And if you don't believe what I'm saying this morning, just go to Walmart and walk about down three aisles and then come back and talk to me. And just look at how children act. And listen to parents count. I'm counting to 10, Johnny. Your 10 run out about 10 minutes ago. Yeah. Lead. Amen. Live the life. Lead. They need it. Amen. 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 That's right. Let's stand together.